Hello, fellow Rebel Capitalists. Hope you're well. Wanted to go over this one chart that the billionaire investor Jeff Gundlach uses to accurately predict the Fed's next move. Let's go right over to Twitter. And I used this on last night's whiteboard. If you haven't checked out that video, I'd strongly suggest watching it. That's on the George Gammon channel. But moving over to Twitter, here is the chart. This is the two-year Treasury yield versus Fed funds. And if you're a fan of Gundlach's, I'm sure you've heard him say on CNBC many, many times that the Fed basically follows the two-year Treasury. And boy, oh boy, is he not kidding. This goes back to 2002. And in a moment here, we're going to go all the way back to the 1970s. But the two-year Treasury is in blue. And the orange is the Fed funds rate. So at the peak in, let's say, before the GFC, the Fed funds rate actually did, it just landed right on it, didn't it? So pretty much the peak of the two-year Treasury yield was exactly where the Federal Reserve stopped. And Josh, do me a favor. Can you please pull up the two-year Treasury on CNBC, the yield? And then just do like a three-month chart because I want to switch over to that here in a moment. And then we see this really plummet. It goes down. The two-year, as you would imagine, usually is above Fed funds. And then we get, let's kind of examine what happened here during the GFC. This was prior. So this was definitely predicting what the Fed was going to do. But then we had the Fed funds go all the way down to about 2%. It looks like the two-year went down below that. And the Fed didn't follow it all the way down initially. But what is, what's interesting there is the Fed didn't follow it all the way down initially, but then most likely a mistake. They kind of had that, oh shoot moment. And, for some reason, I always think of that picture of Jack Black in Nacho Libre. Whenever, when he's trying to show off his fancy clothes or whatever it is, and he does the old butt clinch, like, I always kind of imagine Jerome Powell doing the exact same thing. So they had the Nacho Libre moment, let's say, right here during the GFC. And they said, oh, shoot. We're going to actually have to go further down than the two-year Treasury. Now, let's move over to just prior to the Cerveza sickness. So that would be the last kind of Fed pivot we saw. And the two-year Treasury was right around, let's call it 3%. And Fed funds got up to, let's just call it 2.5 before they had to, quote-unquote, pause or pivot. So this would lead you to believe that, and by the way, right now, Josh, do you have that chart up of the... Okay, good. Thank you very much. And just let's go back 3 months. Okay, that's fine. So we see that the two-year pretty much flattened out. And keep in mind, this is as the Fed's rhetoric is becoming more and more hawkish. And they're in the process of raising rates, you would assume, that this two-year would go up. But then here, it peaks out at about, where does it peak out right there, Josh? 1.7, let's call it. So it peaks out at 1.7.
4.7.
4.7, I'm sorry. And then as of this morning, it got all the way down to 4.19. So we have definitely seen a decline since the beginning of November when it hit this peak. A decline from 4.7 all the way down to, let's call it 4.2. So the trend is down, although we saw a pop today in the yield as a result of the jobs numbers that vastly exceeded expectations. Hey guys, I want to remind you to check out Rebel Capitalist Pro. This is the incredible online investment forum that I have with investment experts Lynn Alden and Chris McIntosh. It includes professionals such as Patrick Serezna from Macro Voices. He specializes in options. Tony Greer, commodity trading. Jason Hartman, real estate. And Brent Johnson with macroeconomics. If you want to build wealth and thrive in this world of out-of-control central banks and big governments, Rebel Capitalist Pro is the resource you need. So check it out today at georgegammon.com/pro. That's georgegammon.com/pro. We'll see you inside with the fellow Rebel Capitalists that are taking their investing to the next level. So going back to this chart, the question becomes, okay, the Fed is playing catch up here. Let's remember that right now they're right at, let's call it 375, you know, the range between 375 and 400 basis points. So their next in December here, just in a couple weeks, they're expected to raise by 50 basis points, which would take us up to, let's call it 4.25, which is very close to where the two-year treasury is right now. So you have to determine the probabilities of this time, assuming that this is going to hold true, that the Fed will basically track. Is the Fed going to be able to go slightly above or maybe get to the point, the highest point, the high watermark, let's say, of the two-year? Or is it going to be more like the just prior to the Cervasa sickness, or better, more specifically, prior to the spike in repo rates, where the Fed wasn't able to get up to the high watermark of the two-year? Looks like they missed it by about 50 basis points. Now let's go back to the 1970s and see if we can do some more digging. Here we go. And I want to give a huge shout out here. These are some great charts. And this guy is Bespoke. Bespoke Invest. At Bespoke Invest on Twitter. This goes back to 1976. So it would include when Volcker really jacked rates. And here it shows us an example. And maybe, just maybe, this is a little more accurate. Now that I'm just thinking this through out loud, why? Because this is during a time of inflation. Although my pushback to myself there, just playing devil's advocate, would be the debt's a lot higher this time. So I would, boy, that you see where I'm going with that, guys? Back in the 1970s, Fed funds went way above the two-year, which would imply that now Jerome Powell has to, you know, he's at 375 right now. Let's say the two-year peaked out at 4.7, that would imply that the Fed has got to go to like 5.5 or something like, or is going to go to 5.5. But why? Because that was the past, that was the most recent inflationary environment we had that we can compare it to. But again, I think the pushback there, or something to consider, would be, yes, we are in an inflationary environment now, but the debt is so much higher, not just at a sovereign level, but a state level, a local level with the government and the consumer's balance sheet. We're talking about debts just being at all-time highs across the board. So yeah, you can jack rates that high to try to defeat inflation when your debt to GDP, using that as a proxy, let's say is 30%. But when your debt to GDP is hovering around 120 or 130, and the consumer's balance sheet might even be in worse shape, I don't know if that's a possibility. But listen, I'll be the first person to admit that I didn't think they'd be able to get above 2.5, because that's the highest, you know, you see this trend going down, and each time they're not able to get up to the past high watermark within the Fed's fund, within the Fed funds rate itself. So I was definitely wrong on that. I obviously we're probably going to go up to, let's say, 4.5, and I thought they'd stop at 2.5. I thought they would stop there because I didn't think they could get higher than that without absolutely decimating the economy. But again, to be fair to my thesis, it revolved around the fact that asset prices would come down and therefore really crush the economy. And we haven't seen that play out yet to the degree to which I thought, by them raising interest rates up to that 2.5 level to begin with. So hopefully you guys are following that here. really, if we go back to GFC, like we did, look at .com, exact same here. We had a recession, would have been right around this time. Maybe it was, actually, it would have been right around here. And so, yeah, very interesting. Back in the late 70s, the Fed funds rate got significantly higher. Then in prior to the recession in 90, the Fed funds rate did get higher, but nowhere near as much. And then .com, the Fed funds rate got right up to the exact high water level of the 2-year. Ditto that for the GFC. And then Cervasa sickness, or you know, last Fed pivot, they were not able to get up to that high water mark by, call it, 50 basis points. So the question then becomes, is it going to be a repeat of 2018 of the GFC or of the late 70s? I think my base case, if I really had to bet on it, although if you would have asked me yesterday, I would have said that I think December is the last rate hike. But now looking at this, I think my base case would probably be probably two more rate hikes to get up to, let's go back to that chart, Josh, please, of the 2-year. Can you throw that up?
Yes.
Thank you. And we go 3-month. So I'm guessing that they're going to have to get up to, I guess that would be my base case. So they're going to raise, let's think this through. They raise 50 basis points in December. So here in a couple weeks. Then I think the next time they meet is February. So let's just assume that they raise again in February, another 50 basis points. That takes them up to the high water mark right there. That puts us at 4.75. So based on this predictive tool that Gundlach uses, I would say most likely Fed raises in December, 50. Fed raises February, assuming that's the next time they meet, by 50. And then that's it. Then they pause and then the next move is down. All right, guys. Enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market capitalism. We'll see you in the next video.